chapter 10. Judges chapter 10, and let me read this chapter to you. And after Abimelech, there arose to save Israel Tola, the son of Pua, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar. And he dwelt in Shamir in the hill country of Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died, and was buried in Shamir. And after him arose Jair, the Gileadite, and he judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons on 30 ass colts. And they had 30 cities, which are called Haboth Jair unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died, and was buried in Cammon. And the children of Israel again did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and served the Baalim, and the Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Sidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines. And they forsook the Lord, and served him not. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the children of Ammon. And they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel that year. 18 years oppressed they all the children of Israel that were beyond the Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. And the children of Ammon passed over the Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, We have sinned against thee, even because we have forsaken our God and have served the Baalim. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Did not I save you from the Egyptians, and from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon, and from the Philistines? The Sidonians also, and the Amalekites, and the Maonites did oppress you. And ye cried unto me, and I saved you out of their hand. Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods, wherefore I will save you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them save you in the time of your distress. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Only deliver us, we pray thee, this day. And they put away the foreign gods from among them and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Then the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead. And the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people, the princes of Gilead, said one to another, What man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we are thankful that a record has been kept of your dealings with your creatures from the beginning until the time that thy Son was on earth, and then sufficiently with thy church to impart to us all things essential to know thy will, to empower us to do thy will. We are thankful that in this book that we've read, your comment is this, Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And that is our desire, Father, that through the reading and understanding and obeying of these Scriptures, we may have hope. Our Father, you know our sins. You have promised, if we confess them, to be faithful and just, to forgive and cleanse. And as for who is sufficient for these things, thou dost know that no one is, unless a man says, our sufficiency is of God, and therefore we cast ourselves upon thee. Empower and prepare the hearts of those who are here. Bless us this hour, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If I asked you, have you ever heard of Gideon? You would say, everybody's heard of Gideon. Well, have you ever heard of Barak? Everybody's heard of Barak. Have you ever heard of Samson? Everybody's heard of Samson. How many of you are intimately acquainted with Tola and Jair? Well, what about Ehud? What about Ibzan and Abdon? Are they any more than names to you? You say, names that I don't even know. I don't know if I've ever heard them before. These are the judges of Israel. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Barak, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jared, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Samson, Eli, and Samuel. 15 judges. And of those you say, I've heard of Samuel, and I've heard of Gideon, and I've heard of Barak and Deborah. Well, what about these lesser judges? You say, I've never heard of them. Well, let me ask you this. Tell me any exploit of Tola, who saved Israel for 23 years, or of Jair, who saved Israel for 22 years. Tell me anything that one of them ever did. Well, if you ask me, I'm not able to tell you either, because God doesn't record it. And the reason he does not record it is probably this. They never did any great thing worth recording. Now let me ask you, which of the apostles raised from the dead the way the Lord Jesus did? You say that's elementary. Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. Good. And what about Paul falling upon Eutychus? Yes. I see. Now, let me ask you, who of the prophets in the days of our Lord had no superior? Of those born of women, there hath not arisen a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Tell me one miracle that John the Baptist performed. You can't, neither can I, because it says in John's Gospel that John did no miracle, and yet the Savior said that there had not arisen a greater prophet than John the Baptist. And this is what it says about him. He did no miracle, yet all things that he said of Christ were true. And because of what he said, men believed on him. And suppose I told you this, that I have never done any great thing other than this. I have given God's people God's word, and I have never led them astray or had to take back one doctrine that I ever taught. Is that a great thing? I think it is. That was what the Savior said before he went to heaven. He said, Father, I have given them thy word. What if you tell God at the end of your life that the only thing you've done is faithfully present God's word to the people of God? Could you tell him anything more thrilling to his heart? The Lord says, preach the word. I can say, I have done that. And Paul tells Timothy, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And so that's why I tell you, and a man isn't conceited if he says, I'm a good minister of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Bible says, if I put the brethren in remembrance of the things in the Scripture, I'm a good minister. Well, if I've done that, then if I think soberly according as God has given to each man a measure of faith, then how am I to esteem myself? You say, as one who has fed God's lambs and God's sheep. And there's no greater commendation. This is what Peter told the Lord. You know all things, Lord. You know that I love you. He said, you do? He said, then you feed my lamb, and you feed my sheep. And if I stand before God, and God placed upon me the responsibility to feed his lambs and feed his sheep, and I say to him, Father, I have fed your lambs, and I have fed your sheep, and I have given them sound doctrine my whole life long, would I be ashamed to stand before God? You say, no. Because the Lord, when he left, set over his household individual servants and gave each one of them the responsibility that he has to do. So, if I was some great miracle worker, then I must work great miracles. But if God has given one talent, and I function only in the capacity of a one-talented man, have I failed? You say, that's all he gave you. Well, what if I have two talents? You say, well, you have to function according to that capacity. And five, then you have to function according to that capacity. Then, whatever God has empowered us to do, we do it to the best of our ability according to the capacity of the gift he has bestowed upon us. And this is what is so humiliating. If I had five talents, I could preach like that man. But if I have two talents, I have to preach like this man. But then, knowing the limitations that God has placed on me, do I have to be ashamed? You say, no. In fact, if God only gave you two talents, you cannot possibly, unless he miraculously intervenes, preach with five talents. Why, of course. You understand? So, if God gave me the power of Samson, I could beat you all to a pulp. But at the same time, if he gave me the heart of Gideon, he gave me the heart of a coward. Did you know that? Did you know that Gideon was a coward? I'm somewhat like Gideon for this reason. God said to Gideon, go and overturn your father's idol, Baal. And Gideon was scared to death to do it, but he said this. He said, I've got to do it. God told me to. And it says, since he could not do it by day, he did it by night. Do you see? But did he do it? Yes. Well, I'll tell you things how. In the dark, when you can't see me, and that's the way that I'm going to do them. But at least I did them. What about those that will not do them by day or by night? You say, that's no good. And some of these things I'm having to review because I've been going through the book of Judges. I've been speaking about Jotham and Abimelech. And if I ask you about Jotham, who is Jotham? Who is Abimelech? Anyway, I'll tell you these little things and then we'll catch up. But I tell you these things because concerning Gideon and concerning Barak and concerning Samson, we know the exploits of these men because God empowered them to perform these exploits. But concerning Tola and Jair, he did not give them the strength of Samson, the military ability of Jephthah, or of Barak, or of Gideon, and because of that, they simply did what they did. But what is so remarkable is this. It says, God saved Israel through them. And suppose you could be saved through Samson, who could tear down buildings, or you could be saved through a man who told you God's will and God's ways and could keep God's wrath from falling upon you and keep God's enemies from attacking you. Had you just as soon be saved that way? You say, yes. If I have a Samson to go and fight the Philistines for me, or if I have a God that so puts into the heart of the Philistines the fear of Israel and they come not against us, why, both ways, I've been delivered. Do you understand? So, if there are judges who are powerful judges who do great things, God records those great things they have done for us. And if at the same time we have lesser judges who have done nothing, that is to be recorded, yet God says they saved Israel for 23 years, who should be praised more? A man who by his strength could deliver Israel, or a man by his wisdom and his devotedness and faithfulness to God could deliver Israel? Which one should be more praised? You say, why? They both should be praised. And which one would you remember more? You say, why, Samson and Gideon and Barak? And yet, it says that these other judges of lesser repute, they saved Israel just as well. So here are men of insignificance. How many of you really had known about Tola and Jair before today? Were you intimately acquainted with them? Do you realize that Israel had peace for 45 years because of these men, and you didn't even know who they were, do you see? And yet they were responsible for delivering Israel for 45 years. And they never did anything great that God tells us about. And yet, they delivered Israel. And so if you think of that, you say, well, perhaps that's better. Because there is a tendency, if a man like Samson arises, to admire him because of his strength. But if a man is self-effacing and delivers Israel, well, what is he? But we like someone head and shoulders above the people to stand before us and walk out before us. We like this, you understand. What likes it? Nothing of God likes it, but something of the flesh likes it. It's something like this. Suppose a person of insignificant importance told you how to be saved, but you trusted Christ as Savior. Or you heard Billy Graham preach, and you were saved by Billy Graham. Which would you rather tell people about? You say, why, Billy Graham, of course. Do you understand? Makes absolutely no difference. Tell me, who saved Charles Haddon Spurgeon? Nobody knows. He said he went into a building one day by chance, and he heard this insignificant preacher preaching, and he trusted Christ as Savior. And yet he eclipsed the man that led him to Christ, and everyone has heard of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And because of this insignificant man, we have this greater man. And as it says in Psalm 45, instead of the fathers, there shall be the children. Instead of the great ones we could look back to, the fathers beget and the children become important. Who was Jesse? You say, Jesse was the father of David. And what did Jesse ever do? You say, well, he brought forth David. And that's enough, you understand? And in like manner, if I told you about J. Leroy Coolman, that would mean nothing to you. Or Charlie Fouch, that would mean nothing to you, but that was my spiritual father and grandfather. It means ever so much to me. And so nobody of importance ever led me to Christ, but someone did lead me to Christ, and I rejoice in it. So be satisfied if you are one who is insignificant. No great thing can be written about you, and yet for 23 years, for 22 years, you have been blessed of God by this man, by that man, and yet you had nothing much to say about them other than they were faithful men, and they preached to me the word of God. That's a great commendation. So, there are some of us that might be like Gideon or Barak. There may be some of you women that are like Deborah. There may be some of you like Miriam. But most of us probably are insignificant ones, and we are not like Dorcas. And when we die, there can be displayed before people all great things that we have done, but at least we have done something for God. So that is worth rejoicing in, and that is great enough reward. If at the end of your life, you can say, Father, the duty that you gave me to fulfill was small, but I fulfilled it. And the Lord will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So do not think about doing great things. That's what Baruch wanted to do. Seekest thou great things for thyself? He said, seek them not. So understand your limitations and understand your abilities. It says concerning Archippus, you take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord that you fulfill it. And so there are some that have gift from God and hold back. And then there are those who do not have gifts from God, and they should be told, your ministry is not profitable. But there is always that. Those who do not have that want to give, and those who do have, and they have to be encouraged to give. So if you have something large, then impart it to the people of God. Something small, then, according as God enableth, you impart that to the people of God. And do not be jealous, be satisfied with what God has given you to do, and do it faithfully. All right. Here are these two, Tola and Jair, and I just might mention this, it was so interesting. Someone was having me look at a religious program last night, and they were talking about snails, and these snails being used to make a particular color. And I had to laugh for this reason. You think you might know what Tola's name means? It means a worm. He is this one from which a color is taken from a worm, and the temple consisted, the tabernacle consisted of blue and purple and scarlet, and one of these colors is taken from the same root derivation as Tola's name. I just thought I would tell you that. And so you can say, well, is he called a worm? No, he's called the color that comes from the worm. You don't talk about it that way. But his name is Tola, and you have Jair, and one thing is said about Jair, and I must tell you, that he had 30 sons, but he had a small family. You say, a small family? Why, yes. How many sons did Gideon have? 70 sons. You see, and so this man had a small family. But at that time, polygamy was allowed, and so they had abundance of wives, and all these children came forth, and this is what I told them the last time, that Jair is most commendable for this reason. Do any of you have even as few as 10 children? 7 children? 5 children? Well, tell me this. With the few children that you have, do you have them perfectly under control? Do you? You understand that this man had 30 sons, and he was able to bring them up to prepare them for career situations to help him judge 30 cities in Israel. Now that is commendable. A man who has 30 sons and he has them all under his control, assisting him in his business, but you can't do it with one or two. And here's a man who had 30 sons and he has them all under control, and instead of having to go to 30 cities, he himself has his sons at those cities, and they can report to father directly. You say, that is a great commendation. Yes. And they all had the same kind of vehicle. They all rode on asses, colts, and so you could recognize them as they were going around to their different cities. You would say, but there is a son of Jair. And you find interesting things like that about them. But concerning this man, for a man to have brought up these children, and for a man to have his children under control, assisting him, as I read it, in judging the cities of Israel, then that is a commendable work. All of you, dear mothers, if at the end of your life you can point to one son and say, I brought him up and kept him out of jail, that is a commendable thing to say. And if you have daughters and say they did not go astray, and if by God's grace, not like Samuel, that is what is so sad. He had Joel and Abijah, his sons, and he tried to make them something that they were not worthy to be. And because of that, Israel rejected his sons. But this man had sons, and he was able to control them, and they were assisting him. And at the end of his life, he could say, I had many sons, and all of them helped in delivering Israel from their enemies. That is a commendable thing. May God grant that we are able to say that concerning our children, that, as Jesse could say, David is my son. And tell me about your children. Well, let's talk about a more pleasant subject. Isn't that sad? And yet, some can talk about their children. Jesse could talk about David until Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite entered the scene. And David could talk about his son Solomon until Solomon in his old age resorted to idols because he disobeyed God's will. So in this case, here is a father who had all of these children. Now, here is what I wanted to add that shows you the importance of these men that quietly are in your midst and preserve you from destruction. It says, Tola and Jair saved Israel. The word is saved or delivered Israel. Combined 45 years. And how would they do it? They would do it this way. Had I been telling you about Abimelech, Abimelech was an usurper who rose up and ruled Israel 3 years to Israel's harm. But now, when Tola came after him, you will find that he allowed no usurper from the inside to rise up. And at the same time, he allowed no enemy from the outside to come in. And concerning the hearts of the children of Israel, he kept them from following after idols. And if any of you men here can do that, if you can keep usurpers from coming in, and at the same time the children of God from departing from the one true God and his Son, the Lord Jesus, going astray, and you can keep usurpers from arising within, then that is something that is commendable, and God will put you down as one like Tola or as Jair. But the saddest thing is this, that it is not inherent in the children that they are going to have the qualities of their father or be able to carry on as their father did. Take Oliver Cromwell. His son was not able to carry on. That is what is. Take Samuel's sons. They were not able to carry on. And so when Tola died, not his son or anyone related to him was raised up of God. But God raised up Jair. And after Jair died, none of his 30 sons took over his position. That's what happens many times. Understand this, some of you who are sons, that there are some who must have the direction of a father. They cannot of themselves do it. My father had 4 sons. My grandfather had 4 sons. And as long as he was alive, his sons prospered. And when he died, he left them all wealthy young men with property. And when he died, all the property and money that their father had left him, they spent. And I was left with nothing, you see. And that is why I wish that he had lived longer. But what happens, as in the case of Jair, 30 sons, and which son takes over? Not one. There are some, if their father is able to direct them and give them counsel, yes, but they have not the capacity to carry on alone. And so these were Tola and Jair and their sons, but remember that it says God raised up judges among them. And, well, certainly one of Jair's sons will be the next judge. No. No one who was a judge in Israel had a son who took his place when his father died. That is so sad. But the consolation is this, that even if your children fail, there is another man that God has in the background whom he can raise up. But I would like to insult you now. It's this way. Here is Israel after the death of Tola and Jair, and they are destitute. They have departed from God, and they cry out to God for a deliverer. And I have a message with this title, and it's scriptural, so do not be alarmed, A Bastard to the Rescue. That's what God had to do. Do you know that Jephthah was a bastard? His father had an affair with a prostitute, and Jephthah was born. And his brothers, half-brothers, cast him out. We don't want you around. And so Israel was about to be besieged by their enemies, and they said, who is going to lead us? And they have to go and get this illegitimate son and say, would you please come and be general over us? Now, wouldn't you be proud of that? Who is your leader? Well, let's not talk about his genealogy, but that's what we have to do. Isn't that humiliating when God, instead of raising up a Saul head and shoulders, above all the people. That's our king. Now, who is your leader? Jephthah. Who is his father and mother? Well, let's not talk about those things, but we have to. For that reason, God could lift up any of you. Certainly, your social standing is as good as Jephthah's, is it not? And so God raised up Jephthah, and he was one who ruled over Israel. Now, let me show you the contrast. I told you that Jair had 30 sons. How many sons did Jephthah have? Not one. He had one daughter. Isn't that remarkable? How could one man have 30 sons and another man had 70 sons? And what about you, Jephthah? I've got one daughter. And then he makes that rash vow, and then he loses his daughter. Do you see the different lot that we have in life? Some have all girls. I know someone that's with the Lord now that had all daughters. Zelophehad had all daughters. I'll give a prize if anybody will tell me how many daughters Zelophehad had and who they were. Can anybody tell me that? Well, someday I'll tell you. But he had five daughters and no sons. And because of that, new laws had to be written for Israel. So here is Jephthah, and had he wanted someone to succeed him, he had no son to succeed him. But the thing and the consolation that is important is this, that even though one of the sons of Jair was not sufficient to rise up, yet God had a man named Jephthah to raise up. And afterwards, I assure you that when they talked about their judge and their leader, they would not point to him the same way that they did for King Saul. And yet Jephthah was able to deliver them. So acknowledge a man, whatever his social standing might be. Whether a man with a sword and with armor goes forth and fights, or if a man like David, when he's to fight Goliath, says, I can't use all of this armor that you are giving me, but I know how to use a slingshot and a smooth stone. Let me fight him that way. Acknowledge that a giant is as dead when David kills him with a stone as when another man kills him with a sword or a spear. So if God raises up these men, you say, why him? This is the sovereignty of God, and we look to him. And would God today, as our Savior said, the fields are white on the harvest, pray that the Lord of the harvest raise up laborers for the harvest. And that is what I pray as well. And that is enough for the day. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that when there seems to be no one to come to our aid in time, you raise up such a man. And we're thankful that at times you do it, and we're proud of that man. At times you do it, and we are so ashamed, and yet we have to turn to that individual. But our Father, your people have been delivered. You listen to their cries. So help us, our God, to be delivered. Send teachers, men that love thee, and feed thy lambs, and feed thy sheep, and deliver thy children from all their enemies round about, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.